Innalhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, we are coming to the end of Ramadan and we are on the waqiat of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his life. And the thing I remind myself anew about is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with respect to Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ramadan al-Kareem is all about obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unquestioningly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a hukum and we follow. We don't ask why and how and, you know, does it appeal to me, this and that. This is the order of Allah. Do not eat, do not drink, and so forth. We don't say why not. It's Alhamdulillah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this about Ibrahim alayhi salam, not only in the month of Ramadan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is the nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This unquestioning obedience is the very nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when his Rabb said to him, Aslim, submit, he said, I have submitted. Aslam to the Rabbil Alameen. I have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I remind myself and you that this is the secret of success, to submit to the will of Allah. Wherever there is a question, wherever there is a decision point in our lives, where the hukum of Allah is on one side and anything else is on the other side, without reservation, anything else can be our own desire, it can be so-called circumstance of society or pressure of society or peer pressure, or call it what you want. Organization, policy, you name it. There is the hukum of Allah on one side and there is anything else from ghairullah on the other side. We choose to follow the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the pressure of society or our own desire or whatever else it might be. This is the meaning of Islam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. He said, do not die except in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Muslims. I remind myself and you that the only way that we can be sure of not dying except in a state of Islam is by ensuring that we live in a state of Islam. We cannot live in a state outside Islam and then expect to die in a state of Islam. You will live, or you will die the way you lived. And that is what we need to remind ourselves. So we saw the different things. I'm not going chronologically into all the details of the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam. I think these are to be studied by themselves individually. And inshallah, I think there is a set of lectures of mine on the Anbiya alayhi salam. Already we have done them, I think all of these, so do listen to them in detail. But today is these Fajr reminders is quick pointers to saying how can we apply this. And today I remind myself about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam leaving his wife, our mother Hajar alayhi salam, and his newborn baby Ismail alayhi salam in the valley of what later would be the city of Makkah. The valley of Makkah. Now, if you look at this issue of obedience and living a life of obedience was not just a characteristic of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This was the nature of his whole family. We know even in the case of other Anbiya, the Anbiya, of course they were Anbiya, but the families were not necessarily at an equal level of piety and obedience. In some cases we have cases like the wife of Lut alayhi salam or the son of Nuh alayhi salam and so on, who were openly disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and openly in denial. So with regard to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the whole family was in a state of obedience. This issue of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was something that permeated the culture of his entire family. His wife was like this, his son was like this, and all of them in the same way. So with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam takes his wife. Now they were in Palestine, he takes her and the son all the way down to the valley of Bakka and leaves them there. And then what does he do? He turns around and walks away. So she asks him, are you doing this? You see even the question. I mean, she's not saying, why are you doing this? What did I do? Are you punishing me? No. There are some exceedingly stupid people, I understand, who are making statements and saying, Nauzubillah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is a deadbeat father and he is, abandoned his wife and child. I mean, they completely. And then these people claim to be scholars of Islam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. My point is, he is in Palestine. If he really wanted to abandon his wife and child to die in the desert, why does he have to take them all the way to Bakka to do it? I mean, it's crazy. Why must you travel from Palestine to Saudi Arabia? I mean, what is today Saudi Arabia? Those days, of course, there wasn't there. But all the way down there just to leave your wife. If you want to leave your wife, he can do it 10 miles out of Palestine. Why does he have to go all the way? It's completely insane. I mean, I think your brain gets totally addled when you want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan takes over the brain, so you talk some nonsense which is ridiculous. And then of course you have people with equally ridiculous brains who can't ask a simple question. I mean, I'm not talking about religious theology. I'm asking a basic logical question. If you want to abandon your wife, if that's your purpose, I mean, do it 10 miles out of the city. What's the big deal? Why must you go 1,000 kilometers down the road? Anyway, so I'm just mentioning that in passing because this is currently doing the round. So if somebody comes to you with that stupid argument, you can ask them this question. So he leaves them there. So he turns around. Now the question she's asking, she's not saying all this. She's saying, did your Rabb ask you to do this? Are you doing this with the order of Allah? He simply nods his head. And she says, go. Just go away, no problem. She says, your Rabb ordered you to do this, then he will not allow us to perish. Now look at the level of tawakkul. The story is that she had some, a bag of dates or something, and that's it. And a bag of water, leather sack of water, that's it. So look at the level of tawakkul. Here is this single woman by herself with a newborn baby, a little baby, abandoned in the middle of nowhere. And there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, a valley in which there is no cultivation. Nothing, there are no trees, there's no, grass and this and nothing, no water. And then, what does he do? When he has gone to a place where they cannot see him, so he's come out of the valley, maybe he went over a ridge or something. Then he turns around and he makes dua. And what is that dua? He says, O Allah, make them among those who will pray. This is the whole orientation of the superiority and the supremacy of the deen over everything else. What would you normally pray? If you were in that place, I was in that place, what is the first dua you would make? O Allah, protect them. O Allah, feed them. O Allah, please make sure that they don't die. And there's nothing wrong with making that dua. I mean, obviously, if you are in that situation to ask for protection for your family, this is nothing wrong with that. But that's not what he's making. That is not what he's saying. He says, O Allah, make them among those who will establish salah. And then he says, incline the hearts of people towards them. Give them leadership in the land. And then provide them from the fruits of the earth, from wherever. Last point. So establishment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme. And then logically also, if you have established the deen of Allah, then I don't have to ask for survival for you. Because Allah will preserve you. And if you have established the deen of Allah, then leadership will come to you. And that's exactly what happened. The story, a beautiful story, that whole thing. She's a single woman, there is a whole tribe which comes from Yemen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent Jibreel alayhi salam and he dug Zamzam. He struck the earth where the heels of Ismail alayhi salam were rubbing the earth and Zamzam started. The spring started flowing. And Hajra alayhi salam, she made Sa'i, it's even called Sa'i. She made this. Between these two hills of Safa and Marwa, she went up one and now everything is flat. Things have grown. No, you have to say, imagine this is Safa. But anyway, this is, she went between the two hills and then she in the valley she would run to make sure that the child is well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now see the beauty of this whole thing. She did all this because she was looking for to see, you know, is there anyone coming and so on and so on. But this whole action of hers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her action an action of ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every single Muslim from that day till today until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this earth. Allah made every single Muslim man or woman do that actual action of ibadah, and that also ibadah, which is one of the highest of the ibadah, which is part of Hajj. The Umrah which we do is actually part of Hajj. We do it on the outside the Hajj days, it's Umrah, but when we go for Hajj, you may do the same thing. So this Sa'i, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every Muslim. Every Muslim means what? Means all the Anbiya, means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Allah made them do this as an act of ibadah. And this is the act of one woman who was running up and down the two hills. That is the wages of obedience. This is the value of obedience. This is the reward of obedience. So this whole tribe of Jurhum comes from Yemen. And imagine that situation. Here is a single woman with a baby, who is sitting by this, water. Here is the whole tribe. You know, they are the sardars, the leaders of the tribe. They are armed, they are big men, they've got the works, right? But when they come to her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts her respect and her fear in their hearts. I mean, what is to prevent, what would have prevented those people? Why must I even talk to this? Who is this woman? I want the water, I take the water, man. Who are you going to stop? You want to stop me? They didn't do that. They came and asked her permission. She negotiated with them. And they adopted her and the child in the tribe, and he became one of the leaders of the tribe. They gave him their daughters to marry, and so on and so on. And we know the whole story. Who puts this willingness and this azmat of somebody and this jaho jalal of a person into the heart of people so others respect them, others love them, others give them precedence? Who does this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does he do it? Because they are obedient to him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And this is why Allah Iqbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Wo ek sajda jise tu giran samajhta hai, hazar sajdon se deta hai aadmi ko najat." He said that one sajda which you find so difficult to do releases you and frees you from 1,000 sujood. If you do not do sajda before Allah, Allah will make you do sajda before every tree and every pillar and every post. Because when the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes out of the heart, then the heart gets filled with the fear of every living creature. When you are afraid of people, you are afraid of situations, you are afraid of this, afraid of that, and for everything you have to go and do dandam for them, because you removed the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart. So the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, inshallah for today, this is sufficient. It's a story of complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that obedience, it's a story of power, it's a story of leadership, it's a story of being the people who then will rule the land. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to fill our hearts with His Noor and with His Azmat and with His glory and His majesty. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are the first of those who obey Him Jalla Jalaluhu. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your standing in Ramadan and your sujood and salah and qiyam and tilawat al-Quran and your fasting and your charity, zakat and so forth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us and to decree that this spirit of obedience which we practiced in Ramadan will continue inshallah in our lives after Ramadan until the last day of our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.